Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Stonic. You're closer than you think to a 202 Stonic with flexible finance plans from your local Kia dealer.
And it's Katie Hannon sitting in for Joe until 3 o'clock. I want to go now to Vanessa, who's in a very challenging situation. Vanessa Dunn, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
We're grand, Vanessa. Tell us about your children.
I have two beautiful children, Katie, who's 11, and Edward, who's 8. Katie has autism and Lennox-Gastaut syndrome. Lennox-Gastaut syndrome is a rare and severe form of epilepsy that can't be controlled by medication. Katie has several types of seizures. She suffers with drop seizures, tonic-clonic seizures, absent seizures, silent seizures. She also suffers with non-convulsive status epilepticus, which is a seizure that she goes into and that she cannot come out of, for which she has to be hospitalised for and put on IV steroids to bring her around. Her seizures are an everyday occurrence because of her seizure frequency, and that we have a lot of behaviours, meltdowns and regression. She can have anything up to between 30 and 80 seizures a night. It's a constant worry. I'm on call 24/7 for her, as I'm her full-time carer. She is in mainstream school with a resource teacher and an SNA, but she works at a first-class level. So,
and what age is she again? Remind me, Vanessa.
She's 11.
She's 11 now. So you must be absolutely living on your nerves.
Yeah. Because of the Lennox-Gastaut syndrome and no control over the seizures, Katie is at a higher risk of SUDEP, which is unexpected death in epilepsy. You know, so for last night, for example, she had 25 seizures.
Last night she had 25 seizures. Mm-hmm. What does that involve? Like, is she in the room with you? Do you sleep with one eye open? How does that work for you?
Myself and my husband, we take turns in sleeping with her in the room at night. You know, it's a constant worry because we don't know what way it's going to go.
What do you do when you realise she's going into a seizure? What can you do for her?
We put her in the recovery position and we have to time the seizure. Because if it's over 5 minutes, we have to give her a rescue medication called buccomedazolam, which helps bring her around. Now, she also had a vagus nerve stimulator put in 2 years ago, which was to try and help with the seizures, but it hasn't worked. So we have a little magnet that activates that to try and not have the seizure going on for as long or that. So, but that hasn't worked as yet, so it's obviously not going to work at this stage.
But there's really nothing you can do to stop a seizure from happening once she goes into it. And what are the risks then to her while she's in a seizure?
Well, you have to be careful that she doesn't fall off the bed or anything like that. You know, she's had seizures where she's cut her head, she has broken her tooth. She has split her lip. You know, she's cut the front of her head, the back of her head. So there's all that on top of the worry of the seizure as well, because her oxygen's levels drop when she's in a seizure.
And away from that then, like, how independent would she be now? She's, as you say, she's 11. She is in mainstream school, but operating. Do you say she's first class level, which would be age 7, I suppose, would it?
Yeah. Katie, to be honest, realistically, Katie will never be able to independently live on her own. Katie can't, you know, she has to be prompted as to what to do in the restroom. She's not able to cut up her meat with a knife like you and I would, or even her little brother at that, you know. So independently living, Katie will never be able to independently live on her own. Katie wouldn't be able to remember to take her medication or anything like that.
So what help is there out there for her at the moment and for yourselves?
None, Kate, that's been honest. I have been on to a couple of politicians in that, and I have been told, because Katie doesn't have an intellectual disability, that I am not entitled to any sort of respite for her.
So you don't
either
get any respite, even
daycare.
Even before the COVID, because we know a lot of respite has been shut down for people.
Even before the COVID, no, nothing.
And how do you keep going, Vanessa?
I suppose I've no other choice until eventually I will wear myself out. You know, like my husband works. So, you know, it's nonstop. It's always a worry watching her, wondering, is there something going to happen today, or is nothing going to happen today? Or, you know, at night, like, you mean, a full night's sleep is non-existent for either myself or my husband. So,
and you have another little boy?
I do, Edward, yeah. You know, I worry about him as well. I've heard him at night praying to God to take his big sister's seizures away, you know, and he is so young to have a worry like that on him. I was in the shower once when Katie had a seizure, and he got the magnet to activate the vagus nerve stimulator. You know, so
And what age is he again?
He's eight next week. So,
isn't he fantastic though? That he was.
He is. He's a great little boy. You know, he's very understanding. But I do, between the hospital stays and that, you know, I do worry about how it does affect him.
Now, we asked the HSE about your case, Vanessa, mm-hmm. and just we got a very long statement back from them, and I'll just read you a little couple of lines from it here. And to be honest with you, I'm not making much sense of it myself. It said the HSE and its funded provider partners are currently implementing an ambitious reform of children's disability services throughout 2020. It says the implementation of new children's disability networks throughout Ireland will provide interdisciplinary services for all children with complex needs in their geographical area, including children and young people with autism. These networks will provide interdisciplinary interventions and a clear structure for professionals to work together to provide integrated care. Does that give you much hope there, Vanessa?
To be honest, no, because I mean, everything that we, you know, even for Katie to be examined for autism and that, we've had to be fighting for that. We've had to fight to get her assessed for it. You know, we've had to fight to get an appointment in the Children's Hospital in Dublin when she first had her seizure. So everything has been a fight. So I'm just waiting. This is going to be another fight because, you know, they haven't done anything for us so far. I mean, she had her first seizure at 5. I mean, 6 years down the line, we still have no help. You know, so I'm not holding my breath, to be honest.
What would you want first up? What would be the first thing? Yeah, if there was a genie coming out of a lamp now, what would you ask for first for your situation?
First of all, I would be happy with one day a month, even just in home care, or for her to go into a home care or a care home with other children like her. But because of the type of autism she has Asperger's, which means she mimics what she sees. So, you know, it would have to be people like her as well. You know, so it's just, I would be happy with just something one day a month at this stage.
That doesn't sound like an awful lot to ask for, to be fair.
It's not. And the fact that we don't have on paper, because Katie is able to read and write, and therefore she doesn't have an intellectual disability, so therefore we're pushed aside, you know. So, you know, if she had that intellectual disability diagnosis, we would be entitled to something, which in one way isn't fair. She has complex medical needs which shouldn't even, you know, they shouldn't even question, you know, about an intellectual disability when she's going through what she's going through at the moment.
Do you think you can just keep going with this, Vanessa?
Well, I've no other choice. You know, as I said, we have no help. So if I don't do it for her, who's going to do it for her?
Indeed, indeed.
You know, so that's the sad thing, you know, and the sad thing is that she will never be able to live on her own. And I don't think people realise, you know, how bad it is, because there's some days when she's good, she's absolutely fantastic, and then there's days where she's bad, and sometimes people don't see the bad side of things. And
well, I think isn't that the problem, Vanessa? A lot of people, you know, unless you're in the situation yourself, there's a lot of caring goes on in this country that nobody knows about and nobody really wants to think too much about, and it's all left on your own laps.
Yeah, and the funny thing about it is if she was in the state care, it would cost them millions. And I do get carer's allowance, which is half rate. I have no problem in saying it's only €150 a week. And, you know, they think because they give us that, oh, it's great. You know, we're saving them millions every year. And they can't even give us, the HSE or anything can't even give us one day a month respite care. And it's not fair. It's not fair on the people that's doing it 24/7. And it's not fair on the actual patient themselves.
Indeed, it's not fair. That is for sure. That's Vanessa Dunn there. Best of luck, Vanessa. And we hope that some help comes your way, because you certainly sounds like you need it and you deserve it. But there, we will take a break. 51551 is our text.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.